Hey, welcome everyone to another exciting edition of the Pulling on Heaven podcast with Pastor Gary Zamora. Pastor, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Steve?
Good. You know, I've never actually gone back and seen if our introductions are like the same over and over again. Like, could we just cut in the same thing? which would be fine, kind of standard, but are they not creative? Do we need to get more creative with our
introductions? Well, I think it's kind of like sometimes you just say, hi, Steve, how are you? I've said that probably lot of times.
And that's better.
It's a new day.
But it's better coming from you. I feel like I got to put on a show since I'm the guest. Otherwise, why am I here? Like, hola!
Well, you have to wake everybody up. What's going on?
So, yeah, I think my voice does.
You get them started. You get them excited because if he's that excited, this has to be something really amazing, right?
Really amazing. Yeah. Or he's just trying to spice up something that's not very amazing.
Well, let's see.
It is always amazing to be here. Always amazing to talk about the kingdom of God with you. And I thought today it'd be really great or fun or poignant, or it would be everything. It would be everything and all time to be everything at all time. What I thought we'd talk about today was something that stood out to me. I don't know when we're airing. It was not when we're shooting this. It's not too far from Easter. I don't want to date the show, but our conversation will be relevant. It's not about Easter, I promise you. But you were talking about is this kind of, and maybe it was even on Palm Sunday and not actually Easter Sunday you were talking about, because you were talking about Jesus, you know, riding in on the donkey and coming into Jerusalem and all the crowds hailing him and save us and Hosanna. And what they were really looking for the most part, is they were looking for a king. They were looking for someone to come in there and basically become the physical king of Israel who would kick out the Romans and set them up for prosperity and take control and rule their daily lives is what they were hoping for. And obviously that's not what he came to do. He said, that's not what the kingdom is. Yeah. And they missed it. And we've talked about it today at times, whether we're talking about eschatology discussions or just what's going on in our world. Sometimes we look to the wrong things for our solutions. And we look and think, okay, if Jesus was just here as the king ruling over everything, or when Jesus comes back and is the physical king ruling over everything, the whole life, our world will be better and our world will be different. And it's like, in many ways, we're guilty then of missing the same things that they missed back then. Jesus said, that's not what the kingdom is. But what struck me so interestingly in a different way, and that alone is probably could be kind of a unique way of thinking about things to most people. We think about if God was just in control of our governments and all of our enterprises and our business, and life would be great. But he said, that's not what I really came to do. And I came to empower you to rule in the way after my own heart. But I thought what I started thinking about was what was a profound impact to me is I started thinking about, well, how about him in our everyday lives? The things we're looking to him for, God, would you change this in my life? Would you change this? Would you change this circumstance? And it could be a big thing. It could be a scary thing, but it could be a minor thing too. And it's like, God, here's our list of things we'd like you to do. And they're always, almost always, a lot of times, these external things that we want him to fix or change. And even, you know, we recently did a podcast and we were talking about reaching the goals. God wants us to do things. He gives us a vision. He gives us a word. He calls us to be places. But again, he does that because he's interested in the inside. Yeah. And I think so much of the time we miss what the kingdom of God is when we think that even God's rule is about changing the thing we have to do every day or the circumstance we go through. And he says, that's not even the kingdom of God.
No.
And I wanted to talk about that because that's pretty profound. And if we can catch that, I think that would change everything.
Yeah, it really isn't about what God does for us. I mean, look in the wilderness. He did so many things. I mean, he fed a manna from heaven. After a while, that wasn't good enough. He, he brought water out of a rock. They had a complaint for everything. Meat out of heaven, brought quail down. It didn't matter, on a mountaintop. Blazing fire and wrote the Ten Commandments and gave him his law, which was God sharing his heart, who he is. It's never the things that God does that even lets us know that we are blessed. Never the things that he does for us is what I'm referring to. But it's what he does within who we are. Yeah. That nature, the heart of God, the mind of God, the kingdom of God is like a kingdom. The kingdom takes on the mind of a king. So that's how you know what kingdom it is. If it's you know, northern, southern, whatever the kingdom is, you knew the kingdom represented the king's mind. However the king thought, that was the rule of the kingdom. And God, that's what God wants us to know. Number one, he created us. If there was a better way, he would have done it. And he's done it this way because the word says, my God, his way is perfect. And what he did is he created us to take dominion because we get to share in his heart, in his kingdom. It's not God just being a king over us. And if you remember when God was spoke through Samuel to the people and they wanted a king, Samuel said, you know, a king's going to come and he's going to rule over you. It's not going to be what you think it's going to be. You want a king to go out and fight your wars, but there's a price to pay. Yeah, he's going to make your children run out before his chariots. Basically, he's going to make you a slave to his kingship. And that's exactly what happened. And today it's kind of the same. Samuel represented the voice of God to the people. And what God was saying is, I'll rule over you. And when I rule over you, it isn't like a taskmaster ruling over. God's glory ruling over us means he shrouds us, like he did in the beginning, in the Genesis of time, Adam and Eve. He shrouds us in his glory. He removes the nakedness and the fear and the doubt so we can walk in the likeness of his spirit. I say it like this. God wants the spirit to rule in the earth, not the actions or desires of man, not the things. He's greater than the thing. That's why he said you worship the creation rather than the creator. And it really is asking God, I love the scripture, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit in me. If we prayed that prayer and God, your kingdom come, be revealed in me as it is in heaven, I think we'd have our prayer life pretty much tied down and sealed up and on the mark. Of course, we can pray a lot of things, but I'm saying the heartbeat of that prayer, that really is the power where you can just say, God, dear, your will be done and create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, do inside of me before you do anything for me on the outside, do what needs to be done on the inside. God got the children of Israel out of Egypt, but it didn't free them. And Pharaoh, he could let them go, but Pharaoh couldn't set them free. Moses couldn't set them free. They had to find their freedom in the word of God. And that's what Caleb did, the word of God. He just believed the word of God. It's the same thing in our world today. We sometimes tend to discern or determine how much God is with us, or maybe how much he likes us, based on the things that he's doing for us on the outside. And remember, God is a spirit. He wants to do what is necessary on the inside, because if what is done on the outside is presented before the inside is ready to receive it, it's not a blessing. It becomes more of a weight. You know, it becomes more difficult. The children of Israel Solomon as king, Saul as king, that was the first step right there. Look, it gave you what you want, and you don't like it. It's not what you thought it was going to be. So we can become prisoners. They came out of Egypt. The children of Israel were led out of the land of bondage, the exile from Egypt. But they became prisoners of their own will in the wilderness. So they were never really free because they wouldn't allow God to be their freedom. They wouldn't allow God to do the change on the inside. They were, you know, they had been in a nation of idolatry, and you can get them out of Egypt, and Egypt let them go, but they wouldn't let Egypt go. And it's the same thing today. You have to let that idea that if he just does this for me, I know he's with me. You have to know he's with you because he said so.
Yeah.
In the garden, God said so. That's all I need. God said it, and that seals it.
It makes me think of, do you remember the movie Bruce Almighty, where Bruce with Jim Carrey was given the power to be God, and God gave him his power, and so he starts hearing everybody praying, and he just can't, and he had the power to answer people's prayers, but it became too much. There were so many prayers, so many prayers, so he just answered everybody's prayer. And then so everyone had their prayer answered. Yes. And then the whole world became miserable. It just screwed up the entire world, made everybody unhappy. Everybody became miserable and all this kind of stuff. And it's kind of like, it's exactly like that, that if God answered all of our prayers, yeah, we would be miserable, I think, because until he changes and does something, his kingdom rules on the inside of us. That's why, as you always say, he says, whatever we pray according to his will, he'll do. Because, and then it'll be instant. And so then when we allow the kingdom to reign in us, then we become one with that will.
Yeah, we do. And a lot of your prayers would change.
Yeah, they just change.
If your heart changes.
Yeah.
Allow God to change your heart. You know, the word says that we are, well, there's a scripture here, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. Mm-hmm. Let's walk in the good works of Christ. It's not a laborious thing, but you should be willing to put your whole heart, mind, and soul, all your strength into loving the Lord your God with all that you are and all that you know and all that you see yourself to be. Mm-hmm. Who do I see myself to be? Take on the mind as he is, so am I in this world, because it's not I that lives, but it's Christ that's living in me. So let me have that mind. God, let me, if we just take on the attitude that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he hasn't forgotten you. He knows who you are, and he knows what you have need of. He said that. But that we need to be mindful of what he wants us to know. You know, I think if we changed our prayer into a couple different formats, number one, God, thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for all that you've revealed and all the ways you've kept us and blessed us. And thank you for all that you have done. And just became involved in praise and thankfulness and worship God for who he is. I mean, you know, the children of Israel, they just wanted what he could do. It didn't help them. They weren't at peace. They weren't satisfied. Most of them died that were let out at the first group, if you will. Mm-hmm. So that shows you that appreciation for satisfaction is not gratifying, but appreciation for transformation, that is satisfying. When God changes us from the inside out, then the outward anticipations and desires begin to change because we come more into unity with having the fullness of who he is. And then when God and as God unveils the promised land, what he wants you to know and to have and to do and to be, then you're able to see it through the eyes of God and you can appreciate it more, you enjoy it more, and you're more of a blessing, okay, number one. Number two, if we could just say, God, I really don't have a request other than, what do you want me to ask for?
Yeah.
What's on your mind? What's on your heart? What would you like me to pray about? You know, what would you like me to think about? What would you like me to say? Because I tell you, I'm sure thankful for all you've done. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? That's your kingdom come, your will be done. That's asking God, what is it that's on your mind? Because otherwise, we really end up double-minded, not even knowing it. We come before God, and it's not that you can't ask God for things, because you can. You have not, but because you ask not.
Sure.
But he said, but when you do ask, you ask amiss.
Yeah.
Because you're asking to consume it on your own lusts. We are far more than our intense desires for things to happen. We are far more than that. And becoming related and aware of who we are, created in his image, his workmanship, you come to realize who you really are, who he made you to be. That satisfies a whole lot of cravings and desires, that insatiable desire to just have and get and do. And it's never enough. We all know that. You know, you get that first raise, and then you want the next raise. You know, you make your first big sale, and then you want to do better. It never ends, and there's not that there's anything wrong, but there's something to be learned there. The word says, hell and destruction are never full, nor are the eyes of man ever satisfied. The only satisfaction is in realizing who he is. The real prophecy is that Christ was revealed. That's the one true prophecy that every other prophecy points to. It all points to Christ. So you could say every prophecy fulfilled is Christ is with me. Christ is present. Christ is here. Now, what I want to know is I want to know more about who you are. Reveal that in me. Instead of God, you know, let this person finance this and let this person give me that and let this person agree with me here and change this and change that. How about God, be revealed. I want to know more about you.
Yeah.
Do this for me. Show me who you are in ways I've never known you. Reveal the mysteries and the treasures of your kingdom to me. Yeah. That's seeking first the kingdom of
God. It makes me think of when you would talk about like two things come to mind. The first being that idea of, you know, we prayed, Jesus, calm the storm. And I remember you not too long ago talking about that. Well, what if we're meant to live in the storm?
Yeah.
And then that idea too, that you said, well, the world, it's not a perfect world. And it's and you talk about, no, it is a perfect world. And what if our prayers, what if he came not to change anything that happens in the world, because the world, and that he does work in the world, so I'm not saying that, but what if he came not to change anything that happens in the world, but to change what happens in this world, so then it doesn't matter to us what happens in that world, or we're at least equipped to then manage what happens by manage, do what God wants us to do with it in the best possible way.
Yeah, well, and two, it would, by nature, change the world. God said, "When you know where wars and fighting and all this conflict comes from? It comes from your lust.
Yeah.
If you would take that time and praise, it would change the world. Wars, rumors of wars, all these things would transform, it would change. He says, you have all these things because you're acting as though I'm not God with you. You're acting as though I'm in the distance and I'm far away, as though I have not supplied all things. A scripture that says, I've been young, I've been old. I yet see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. Mm-hmm. Lord is with me always. Some of the Psalms of David are just so profound that he just declares the glory of God and that God is ever present. And it's just that attitude and that idea that's our faith seeking. We're always looking for something. We're always going to be searching and seeking for something because that's how we're created. Our design is to seek God, to worship him, to love him, to trust him. That's our design. And when we function outside of our created design and things go awry, we want to blame God or somebody when you're simply operating outside of your design. You know, if you pick up a glass and you use it as a hammer and it shatters in your hand, you can't get angry at the guy that made the glass because you didn't use it according to its design. Same thing in our lives. When we look for things to satisfy, when we're created to be satisfied by his presence, by his word, by who he is, by his spirit, by Christ being revealed in us and through us and to us, when you put that away, then you're outside of your design. Of course, you're going to feel empty and depressed and feel anxiety. But when you bring yourself back, that's taking dominion. That's why we're here on this planet of cultivated faith, is so we can cultivate our minds through faith in who he is. It's really very simple. Jesus said, kingdom of God is like a child. It doesn't get a lot more simple. Just have dependency, to be dependent on your Father, be dependent on the Lord, and know that he's going to lead you. He's going to speak to you. He will reveal. God would show you things you would never even have imagined. You wouldn't even known to ask or think for these things. But God will reveal them to you when you start seeking him, because your heart becomes more of a sponge to your true purpose, your true intention in God's design of who you are. And it really is our dissatisfaction that makes us dissatisfied.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we'd be thankful and praiseful to God, you'd see what God has done. I mean, how many times have you or I or people you've known become so thankful for something like they had never been thankful for it when they lost it? Whether it was a loved one or a job or a home or, you know, this home isn't what I want. I wish we had a better.
Something you take so for granted.
So, but when something isn't there and you do one thing, you begin to reflect on how nice it was and what a blessing it was being there.
My gosh.
You have gratefulness for something you no longer have.
Absolutely.
Let's not allow God to be a perfect stranger to us. Let's get to know him better and more. And in doing that, your life will transform. And the word says we will lack no good thing. No. And we won't. We don't. Because God, Christ, really, really is the fullness of all things. And then God does incredible things. He leads you into your promised land. He opens doors of wonder and honor and favor because you're walking according to your design. Otherwise, we're saying, God, I know what design you have me. to be, what you created me to be, but I want to be outside of that design, but I still want your will to be done in my, it's an oxymoron. You're praying double-minded. You're praying amiss, but rather God create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me. Show me who you are in me. I want to know you better. I want to know you more. Your desires will change. You come back more in alignment with your design. And then you can say, this is the greatest season of our lives. You can say it every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's almost like I think about the verse we talk about a lot. You talk about a lot. We talk about on here in James, is just consider all joy when you face in various trying of your faith, right? So if we were to actually want God to do something on the outside of us to make us better, because we think if I just get this, if you fix this in my life, you do this, my inside life, I'll have more at peace, yeah. Then what would we be praying is him actually make our life more challenging, not make my life better. It'd be, if we wanted the real prayer exterior circumstances, it'd be give me more trials, Lord. It wouldn't be take away these trials.
Yeah.
So it's even a false place to begin with. You know, and I think of Adam and Eve, prior to the fall, what could they have prayed to ask God for, other than something about him as a person?
Yeah.
Because he gave them everything. So we were designed to not need God to do anything externally for us.
Yeah. Well, and you hit a word or said a word that hits the nail on the head. Show me how to be your person. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
God wants to be a person. I'm not saying human. God wants to be a person. He wants to be a presence because he is. He is a person, the person of the Godhead, the person of the Trinity. He is a person. He wants us to know his person. Mm. He wants us to know him better, to know him more, because he knows that he is the fullness of all things. That's where we see his love. God could easily say, do this, this, and that, and I'll do this, this, and that, and you're done. You know, here you are in your little house or your castle or your whatever, and you're done. No more endeavors, no more faith, no more dreams, no more desires. You're done. It's what you wanted. You're done. We'd be the most miserable people on the planet because we are created by design to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. God endlessly and continuously, and it will never end, revealing his glory, revealing his goodness. He wants us to know his person. He wants to be his person in our reality, so we know his person.
Yeah.
And then he is the, what are you going to possibly get outside of God that would bring you any joy, any peace, or work out right just because a thing happened? You know, the prayers are endless. God do this, God do that, God do this, God do that. And then when something does take place, like, lead us, get us out of Egypt, get us out of bondage. We want to be free. They didn't want to be free. They wanted their natural desires to be satisfied, and they wanted to play God. So they made a God in the wilderness, took all their valuables, melted it down. Aaron was a part of it, and made a false idol. They weren't pleased because what they asked for, they received. What God wanted to show them was his heart. But when God spoke, they said, we don't want to hear him. You tell us what he says. So you can tend to distance yourself from who he is, thinking that if he does things for you, that you'll be happy. But it's in knowing who he is and who he is in you that brings that peace and that fullness.
And that full circle back to the garden again, as you're always going with that idea, is they had everything.
And, what else could you want?
But they didn't believe on the inside that they had everything. Yeah. And that was why they fell.
Your clothes aren't going to wear out because you don't have any. You don't have to wash them. You know, they're not going to tear them. Your shoes aren't going to wear out because you're walking in the garden. He is your clothing. He is your covering. A reality that you can only know in Christ. Mm-hmm. That reality that Adam and Eve knew. Can you imagine? There's no shame. There's no nakedness. But now you have a desire. You want something outside of who he is. It's the same thing today. God, yeah. Do this rather than God, who are you?
Yeah.
Satisfy me by revealing who you are in me. Man. That's the answer. That's the prayer. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Yeah. Amen. Well, I don't know that we, I mean, we could go for hours on that, but I mean, I think this is a good place to wrap it up. And I know that that is such a powerful thought and such a powerful understanding. And I think if we could really embrace that, that is how the kingdom truly flourishes. That's how our lives are changed. That's how we affect other people's lives to change. That's how it grows like a mustard seed and fills the whole earth the way. And
you can be that today. There's no waiting period. Amen. Let's just do that today. Let's say this is the day.
This is the day.
Today.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks, Pastor.
Thank you, Steve.
See you next time.
Take it easy.